gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Oh, I'm just chuckling at Carl Frisch tweets as I normally am at this time of the day.
Yeah.
Breaking, heading to Louisiana, Romney ditches Foxworthy for Larry the Cable Guy. He obviously won't get her done there either.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You might be a redneck if you thought Southern voters could be swayed by a comedian. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
6 minutes after the... This is more importantly, though.
What?
Carl tweeting, guess who got a haircut today? Dexter Von Frisch and me.
So, oh, Dexter Von Frisch.
Dexter's get all done. Okay. All right, 6 minutes after the hour, big show coming up. Stephanie Shriok, president of Emily's List, talking about the Republicans' war on women, et cetera, et cetera. StephanieMiller.com, the website, SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website, and the freshly shorn Carl Frisch joins us.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. WholeFightStrategies.com. So inviting to me. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. You know, the worst thing about getting a haircut the same day that my dog gets a haircut, they give him a handkerchief and they give me a glass of wine, and I think we both would rather have it reversed.
Do you get matching haircuts? Because that would be really tragic.
I don't. You know, fortunately for me, I don't have hair covering my entire face, just a beard.
All right. So, Carl Frisch, boy, oh, boy, what you make of that, Southern... Excuse me? Go ahead.
It's remarkable. It's fascinating to me that Romney thought he could compete in Mississippi and Alabama by saying that he likes cheesy grits.
Yes.
You know, I'm surprised he didn't talk about, you know, I remember many times, you know, many of my family friends own television companies, and we would watch the hee-haw.
The hee-haw, yes.
I mean, it's like a prerequisite now to just be completely in denial for these Republican candidates. I love this. Mitt Romney said the primaries have shown his ability to connect with Republicans and independents alike. That's what that showed. What?
Huh? Yeah, I suppose in some weird bizarro land that might have been what it chose, but I think the opposite's true. You know, he got spanked. I mean, Gingrich and, sorry to Santorum for saying that, but Gingrich and Santorum, you know, got upwards of 65-70% of the vote in those states. Yeah, and Mitt Romney won Hawaii and another, I don't even remember what the other one was.
Oh, don't forget the 70 Samoans at the Toa Bar and Grill.
Right.
Literally.
Yeah, the American Samoa.
Yes.
And, you know, this is how it's going to continue. He's going to, you know, we're going to Louisiana. It's remarkable. I mean, we've got the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, which is, you know, breaking records all over the country. I don't know that people really want to be entertained by Mitt Romney and Jeff Foxworthy.
And a bonus point for getting in a plug for Mama. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing. He's got ball, Carl Frisch. Oh, we don't... Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. All right. So, wow. You know, I was reading a piece. You've obviously talked about this. This was by ABC about Rush Limbaugh's slut comment controversy proves it has staying power. But this has been about 2 weeks. And in a 24-hour news cycle, that really is kind of an eternity, right?
Sure. Absolutely. What I hope people don't get out of this is the wrong idea that people shouldn't be advertising on talk radio at all.
Hello, thank you.
I think there are very specific players in this world who do nothing to lighten the conversation or bring any kind of interesting points to the conversation, and that they recognize that Rush Limbaugh, this is not just about 2 words for Rush Limbaugh, it's about 30 years for Rush Limbaugh, and that they can take their advertising dollars somewhere else to reach the same type of audience if they want to. I mean, there are conservatives on radio that don't say the things that Rush Limbaugh says.
That's right.
In the same way that there are liberals that don't say the same things that Rush Limbaugh says. So, you know, this is, even if Rush does survive this and his show remains intact and everything else, I hope it's a good lesson for him.
Yeah, well, this is what I knew was going to happen. Here's Sean Hannity saying that the hard left broke talk radio. Now we can't have nice things anymore.
Yeah.
For the first time in, I'll quote Michelle Obama, in my adult life, I feel that there's enough funding. I feel that they are well organized enough. And frankly, they so don't support freedom of speech that the hard left has the ability to take out a format, meaning talk radio. I feel that strongly about it.
Yeah.
So again, Rush Limbaugh. Again, here's the party, Carl, of personal responsibility, and Rush Limbaugh has no responsibility for any of this. This is.
But he apologized, Stuffer. Ridiculous. I mean, and by the way, this is not about freedom of speech. I think we all support freedom of speech, and we don't want the government getting in the way of what people say on the radio or television. We probably all want them to loosen it up even a little bit more.
Right.
But this is about the freedom of speech of news consumers and radio consumers who have spoken out. And more than anything, the reason that things are being impacted right now is not because of free speech. It's because of the free market.
Well, you know what it is? I was just reading this ABC memo, and, you know, the problem is Sean Hannity now and Glenn Beck, among others, are on this list where that sponsors done. That's not the hard left. These are sponsors that say we don't want to be in Rush or shows like this.
Mark Levin, too, I think.
Yeah.
Well, as they should be. I mean, if what Rush Limbaugh said was heard by a larger audience because he has a larger audience than those, wannabe Rushes. But it's no different than the type of things you hear there. I mean, remember, in the first days of the controversy, everybody across the conservative radio dial and across Fox News were standing up and defending what Rush Limbaugh said. And not only that, some of them were just reiterating the point using the exact same language.
You know what, Carl? That is the best point I've heard. If the likes of Sean Hannity had done the right thing and stood up and said, that's too far. He's my friend, but that's too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you're exactly right. Like, they sort of enabled this, and now they're going, oh, my God, look, now you know, advertisers won't buy spots in my show either.
They showed, you know, Jon Stewart had this segment, I think it was last night, where they showed that, you know, classic video of Ted Nugent at a concert where he's holding up like an M16 or a machine gun, and he's saying, why don't you, you know, suck on this, Barack Obama? Why don't you sit on this, Hillary Clinton, you blank? B-A-T-C-A,
yeah.
You know. And then he says some vile things about Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein. And yet, you know, his punishment by Fox News was to let, you know, be allowed to play with Huckabee and his little band on his Saturday show.
Hello, I'm a woman that Ted Nugent has directly given the finger to on national television.
Yes.
On Politically Incorrect, and I don't remember hearing any outcry about misogyny or,
Could have been worse. He could have shot you with a bow.
Yes.
Well, there is
While giving me the finger, yeah.
The misogyny is not seen as abnormal in those parts of the media, so they don't know how to react when somebody's called on called out for it.
Yeah.
All these bitches keep whining about misogyny. What the? Well, then.
Jim Ward, 2012.
Yes.
Okay. Why these bitches keep whining about misogyny?
And if you needed any further example, I mean, the women's contraception issue is a perfect point. I mean, you take the sex and take pregnancy out of it. Women's contraception serves a variety of purposes for women with varying medical issues and other things, and yet you never hear conservatives talk about that because they don't know, because they don't care.
Carl, I get that it's overshadowed by the obviously just the blatant misogynist name calling with Rush Limbaugh, but that's the thing that drives me crazy that nobody is covering. I don't feel like his entire attack was based on just an untruth. She wasn't even talking about her personal sex life, and she wasn't talking about the government paying for her. You're talking about private insurance. By the way, we pay for health insurance for private insurance. You're talking about them covering certain types of medicine. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The entire premise was incorrect, right?
Well, not only that, but, I mean, let's take it a step further. If people want to have the right to, you know, morally object to what health care is covered by their insurance provider, you know, what would keep a religious-based charity that hires secular and people of other faiths from saying, okay, we're not going to let you have penicillin. You just got syphilis. Congratulations, you sinner. But we're not going to give you penicillin, so we look forward to having you around the office as you go blind and crazy.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Rush Limbaugh.
You know, I have affectionately referred to the NOW gang as the NAGS, the National Association of Gals, for over 15 years. No, how can I be anti-war? I even judged the Miss America pageant. I even had Miss America that year on this program.
Mm.
I said, nice gams, toots. How's that misogynistic?
Well, that's case closed now, right, Carl?
Yeah.
Oh.
Stephanie, some of my best friends are pageant models.
It's not like I don't like strong women.
Okay.
Okay.
I think it was, wasn't it Donald Trump's pageant, too? It wasn't Miss America, right? It was Miss Universe.
I thought it was Miss Universe.
Yeah. Whatever it was, it was huge. Huge.
So, yeah.
By the way.
Limbaugh telling us why he's not sexist.
Yeah. By the way, I do want to say, you and I have talked about this, and that, I do want to say one of the things, because this is why people like Bill Maher or me, it is very uncomfortable when you talk about sponsors and boycotts and,
sure.
Because it really very easily can cut both ways when you get into what's controversial or not, right? Somebody asked, is he going to be canceled? I mean, a lot of people, I think, don't have an understanding of radio. He doesn't really work for somebody to get canceled by. Yes, if 600 radio stations all decide to drop him, yes, his show could. But, his syndicator cannot syndicate him anymore, but then another syndicator will syndicate him, right?
Well, we're getting close to the point where he could probably syndicate himself.
Right.
He's making $40 million or $400 million every 10 years, $40 million a year. He could do it his darn self. He could go to Sirius Satellite, just like Howard Stern did. There are a variety of places for him to go. And I don't think that he should be yanked, simply because of what he said. I think he should be yanked if these stations decide this is not the type of thing we want to support with our money anymore.
Yeah.
If these stations are
that's
money
the thing.
Of the show, that's a reason for them to drop them.
That's the business point I'd heard a lot of. If local stations will be heard if a lot of local advertisers have pulled out, then that's a station by station thing. But anyway, just to clarify,
yes.
Makes us a little hinky. Talks of boycotts hurt all of us in the radio business. All right, Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar with his freshly shorn hair as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa! Awesome! Totally awesome! All right.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
C. Miller.
Minutes after the hour. Some days just seem made for us.
Oh.
When you have a headline, Sarah Palin, Obama wants to make white people slaves, and
this.
Pat Robertson makes his 700 Club co-host uncomfortable with oral sex talk.
Yep. Wow.
You just don't know which way to go. which story to do first, because that's... And now we can finally say, is Pat Robertson high? Now
what's going on? In favor.
Is he high now?
Yeah.
In addition to being crazy, is he just high?
I think if the Lord didn't want us to smoke giggle weed, he wouldn't have made so much of it.
Giggle weed.
What did he say last week? Ganja is the Lord's Fruit Loops? I think that...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
I've been saying that Pat Roberts has been high for years.
I think so.
I think now we know.
Yeah.
All right. Let's continue our slog through the right-wing world. Greg Gutfeld on the Five.
It is, in a way, about contraception and gas prices.
Mm-hmm.
Because feminists should be outraged if they have to pay that much money for gas in order to drive to the clinic to get their free birth control pills. So gas prices is a feminist issue, and they should be outraged.
The outrage that the president made gas so high so they can get their...
So the sluts have to pay more to drive to
so
get their free...
So they can have more sex.
Well, I think everybody should be outraged at gas prices since we still give those giant billion-dollar giveaways to the oil and gas companies, and we're not seeing anything in return for it.
Yes, we do.
But in the bigger news of that that little clip there is that The Five is still on television.
Yes, that's the big news there. All right, Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear.
I've got the math. Elect me. It doesn't exactly stir the soul. I don't see people swooning in the aisles like Obama in 08. And I also like the high level of civil discourse that... the Republicans are engaging in. Romney saying of Santorum, he's an economic lightweight. He doesn't know anything about the economy. Look, I think the voters are right. This is dividing the party and hurting the party.
Wow.
And I love that Newt Gingrich today just called the political system stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid system. Not me.
Well, I agree with him again 2 weeks in a row, I guess. But here's my question. Would we be able to tell if he was inspired by Mitt Romney?
Yeah, Charles Krauthammer is not inspired by much of anything.
I don't think we'd be able to tell that if he was really in the tank for one of the candidates.
But he's right,
He's got.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's got that game face going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and this was different. I can't believe Mitt Romney didn't even give a speech. He just released a written Rain Man statement.
Yeah.
Definitely winning the math. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, careful.
And then he went on Fox News and was yelled at by Megyn Kelly.
It's not a good day for me. No. All right. Brian Kilmeade and Gretchen Carlson.
Attorney General Holder cracking down on Texas and saying no go on your ID law. Show an ID to vote. Well, that's not right.
Like, who's going to stand up and say, yeah, I'm for voter fraud? I mean, all this does is try to cut down on that.
Ah, all those many, many stories of voter fraud.
Republicans, I mean, the Secretary of State of Indiana has been convicted of, like, 6 felonies of voter fraud. He's a Republican, by the way. You've got members of Congress who have run voter fraud campaigns out of their houses. But there's no real epidemic of voter fraud, so I don't think anybody's going to be standing up for it. I'd like to see Fox News talk a little bit about voter intimidation.
Yeah, thank you. All right, and Sean Hannity.
By the Black Panthers?
Yes. Yes, scary black persons. Look, ooh, it's more footage.
Black Panthers? There was like 2 of them.
Okay, Sean Hannity.
We want to bring to your attention a brand new segment that we are debuting tonight. Now, it is called The Real Obama. It is our attempt at doing the work that the elite media has refused to do for the last 4 years, and that's vet the man who holds the most important job in the world. So you don't want to miss this brand new segment debuting in just a few minutes.
Okay. Wow. Yikes. Show us the birth certificate. Pardon me.
I imagine that it was drawn on a chalkboard and that he probably just pulled it out of storage or from that bunker that Glenn Beck used to keep all his Nazis.
Right.
All right, Carl, you've been a good boy. Let's have a little bit of Evil Uncle Chuckles audio about oral sex. See how much we can get through before the
Jerry
break.
Jerry asks, I have to ask this question. Is oral sex between a husband and a wife in a marriage a sin? I don't want to. Don't look at me. I'm too young for that question.
You're too young.
I'm too young.
Do you have a baby? Did you get married?
Oh my Lord! Can we just switch the current up hat? You see this?
The Bible doesn't make that simple. It's a question of what's in your heart. You know what's in your heart. If to you it's sin, it's sin.
And the Bible says that, you know, something about a bed is undefiled between a husband and a wife. So whatever you guys decide on between
it
a husband
said,
and a wife, God bless you, be undefiled.
It,
that's what I mean.
It didn't say it is the, it's
no,
let it
let,
be.
Yeah.
That means don't bring somebody else in there.
Exactly. All I'm right. glad you cleared up that scripture
right.
for me.
But I think evidence of love and compassion and affection between two people who are married.
All right, let's switch to the next question.
Of what is in your mind. If you feel it's sin, it's sin.
It's only dirty if you're doing it right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I am going to take a shower as soon as we're done with this interview.
I'm going to need to hear that again later.
And if that's the bar that they've now set on the 700 Club, I don't think any of us are sinners anymore.
Yeah. Wow, smoke if you got them. All right, Dr. Dan next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's crazy. You can't give up sex. You've got a responsibility. You see,
Stephanie Miller.
You're what they call a practice girl.
Damn, wish I'd had one of those.
34 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim Ward will read some of the best Sarah Palin word salad ever next on why the president wants to enslave white people. Okay, then.
Wow.
Yeah, and I got to hear that Pat Robertson oral sex thing again.
Pat Robertson wants you to get your freak on.
Yeah, well, hello. Mm. Hello,
and
now.
That woman is so feclement, as she said, about it.
No, I'm too young to talk about this. Oh,
yeah. Lady, you're married and you have a child. You have had sex. We all know it.
Quiet.
All right. Listen,
don't talk about it.
Let's talk about real love. It warms my heart. When anyone that's ever worked with me goes on to anything, it's a proud moment.
Yeah, and I've been stuck with you since 1997.
Right? You're not going anywhere.
No.
I pick up my Chicago Tribune, and what do I read? Clinic sees people, not dollar signs. One patient, which treats patients regardless of ability to pay, worries about proposed Medicaid cuts. At nearly 7 feet tall, Dr. Dan Ivankovic is the larger-than-life Chicago orthopedic surgeon who sports a black leather cowboy hat, goatee, and earrings. He plays a 6-string electric guitar in a blues band and is known in those circles as the Right Reverend Dr. D.
Wow.
Recently seen backing up the Sexy Liberal Show at the Chicago Theater.
Woo-hoo!
My friend, my former radio producer. Ivankovich is the co-founder of the Chicago-based One Patient Global Health Initiative. The mission of the health initiative is to treat patients in Chicago and beyond who have musculoskeletal health disorders. I didn't go on to better things. I'm still me.
Well.
He's a famous orthopedic surgeon.
And you can't even say orthopedic surgeon.
No. Regardless of their ability to pay. Dr. Dan joins us now. Hi, honey.
Hey, baby. Good morning.
Oh, you're so sexy. Great job at the Chicago Theater with the Chicago Blues All-Stars. What a night.
Oh, that was really awesome. You guys were amazing. And I will tell you, I mean, you continue to get funnier. But John, every time we do that Muddy Waters thing, for a white dude, he's definitely pretty fly.
When he does his liberal man. Yeah. With the, I know. What can you say? He's a pretty-ass white boy.
And then Hal, I didn't realize that, you know, Hal was kind of a heavy metal shredder. He's pretty good on guitar.
Yeah, yeah. He was up on that big screen. I think that's up on Sexy Liberal Facebook. Because, you know, we were up on the Jumbotron. So
wow.
That was a lot of Sexy Liberal.
It was an awesome show, though. The crowd was phenomenal.
Thank you, baby. As were you. So yeah, you are just a Renaissance man. But, I every time I read about you, I get so proud. But you guys are actually, this piece in the Trib is you know, the healthcare, obviously, always in the news, always being debated. But Carla, your awesome partner, who was also with us in Chicago, she's quoted in here. She talks about how potentially devastating the state's proposed cuts to the projected Medicaid budget would be on your patients. 90% of them are indigent and receive Medicaid. So talk to us about that.
Well, I mean, you know, the difficulty is in the media and along political circles, just this whole concept of healthcare reform, I think a lot of it is talk because, you know, to me, it's irrespective of parties. Politicians want to do things that put them in a good light in the public eye and to say that, oh, yeah, everyone's going to have health insurance now. But it's very complicated because the vehicle that they're utilizing to give people coverage is Medicaid. And then on the back end of it, here you have states like Illinois, California, New York, New Jersey that are just proposing significant cuts in Medicaid, which, you know, once again, how is an insurance going to be valid if, A, nobody accepts it and if the government doesn't fund it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought you made a good point in the Trib here. It says, you know, many of your patients have been passed over by other providers and specialists. It's not uncommon for simple fractures or wounds, for instance, to have deteriorated into much more complex and life-threatening conditions. So, you know, you say as an orthopedic surgeon who accepts Medicaid insurance, I wind up getting patients from all over the state. There's a shortage of doctors, especially specialists, wanting to take these patients. That's why so many Medicaid patients use emergency rooms as their primary source of health care. That's the argument I think people keep missing, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, you talk about it on the show, and I think the concept of, you know, preemptive and preventative health care, I think, is much more cost effective. I mean, think about it. When a patient comes crashing and burning into an emergency room with something that is, you know, imminent, you know, to lose their limb or threaten their life, that costs so much more. And the crappy thing is hospitals are incentivized. I mean, hospitals get paid tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars when people are at risk versus, you know, $20, $30, $40 for wellness and health maintenance. So, you know, the really terrible thing is that, you know, hospitals and the business medical, you know, community, they want people to be sick because they get gain from it.
Your partner's quoted in here, too. You know, I think it's an important thing. A lot of times in right-wing world, we'll play a clip where they try to, you know, cast people who need Medicaid as losers. And she says some people assume Medicaid is only for the poor or the unworthy, the incompetent, the unmotivated, but mostly it's for people who are in need. And these days, many have been economically devastated. I'm looking at a story right online today. It says, you know, for many years, Bill and Donna lived the American dream. Then Bill had a stroke and their hardware store hit hard times. Their lives have never been the same. I mean, that's the whole point. You know, one of these, I think the people that were suing the president for health care, she went bankrupt because of medical stuff. I mean, it's such a common story, isn't it?
Well, you hear it all the time, and one of the things that, you know, is very bothersome to me is that, people try to marginalize our fellow citizens that are on Medicaid and, you know, try to say that they're either not intellectually competent or they put this face of, you know, a welfare mama in a do-rag. I mean, let's be, like, really clear about it, that a study that just came out, you know, 50% of people on Medicaid are white. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, I think the stereotype, whoever the media, you know, the right-wing media is trying to portray that, you know, Medicaid is somehow a marginal sub-society. They're crazy. And I think that the misinformation that is being put out there only leads to, you know, this kind of hate-mongering or negativity mm-hmm. among people that would be Medicaid.
But, you know, again, in this trim piece, Carlo makes the same point I was just making about this couple online today. This matters because we have to remember we're all potentially just one bad day away from being unemployed or disabled and in need of a safety net. I don't know if you saw this piece Alexandra Pelosi did. She shot people in, you know, Alabama, Mississippi, which just voted. And literally, that's what you hear. You know, it's like, oh, back in my day, we got along without that, like without health care. She said, well, people in Mississippi need health care. And you know, the voters just like, well, we don't need handouts. I mean, there's just so much misinformation, you know, about health care that it's infuriating.
Well, you know, you're right. And I think the difficulty really is that, you know, health care right now, statistically, one of the things that is most troubling, and I mean, I know that you are a serious, you know, health person, you know, the P90X I got because you're doing it. And, you know, it's important. I mean, people are not working out. People are not watching themselves. For every person that quit smoking in 2011, 1.3 people became obese. I mean, the new epidemic among Americans is going to be obesity, and that leads to things like diabetes, things like osteoarthritis. And, you know, it's a very slippery slope. It's much cheaper, much more cost-effective to treat people that are of a normal weight. And once they get to us, you know, I mean, I mean, routinely, I'm taking care of people that are 400, 500, 600 pounds. And, you know, once they get to me in that condition, I mean, you know, I'm trying to salvage them, and it literally costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. And
that's why I think that the point is made in this piece that there are more innovative strategies like focusing on preventive care to deal with cuts in Medicaid, right?
Well, but that, you know, once again, for the politicians, for the right, I mean, you know, who, you know, the doctors historically have had a very different model that was based on fee-for-service. And, you know, the concept of single payer is, you know, very, you know, left-wing and communist. But the fact is that at some point or another, we all have to understand that our country, 1/7 of our gross national product goes to health care, and that's climbing. And our country is only going to be as competent, as productive, as our citizens are healthy. And health is just something you can't, it's a right. And I don't care what people talk about, you know, in the public forum. People deserve health care, and people need to be healthy. And the caveat is, you know, patients and people need to be accountable for their health, and it's a two-pronged sword there.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. It is a right. I mean, the fact that this whole health care has ever been a for-profit system in this country is ridiculous to me. You know, your house is on fire. The fire department doesn't say, do you have insurance? Can you pay for this? Are we going to, I mean, it literally... it is a right, and I love you, Dr. Dan. That's all I want to say.
Oh, thank you. I love you, Steph.
You can I just say you are such a fine American inspiration. I know you don't like to politicize yourself, but you're a sexy liberal.
I am.
Yeah.
Seven foot sexy liberal.
Yeah, and you are an inspiration in that. We started in radio in the day when you had to cut audio tape with a razor blade. And
yes,
I still like to tell the story that my demo tape that you made for me, you made a bad cut, and you incorrectly lopped off Betty Buckley's last name. And so the fact that you grew up to be, and really grew up, 7 feet tall, to be a really fabulous orthopedic surgeon means anyone anyone can succeed in America if
That's
they
true.
Try hard
That's
enough.
True.
Dr. Dan, keep doing the Lord's work. I love you, honey. See you next time we get to Chicago.
See you guys.
All right, honey.
Bye.
Love you. There he goes. Dr. Dan, all 7 feet of him.
Wouldn't have that kind of conversation in Europe. Because
I
there it is. You know, of course we have health care.
What?
Yeah.
Everybody has health care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Yes. That's where I think that phrase came from in Canada. What's that little boot? It was about our healthcare system.
Obviously.
What's that a boot?
All now right. Go sit on the Chesterfield.
Yes, exactly. Let's hear it for Dr. Dan. What a man. What a very good man. All right. Hey, what's for breakfast? Sarah Palin word salad as rendered by Jim Ward. Next.
By the way,
yes.
I don't think I've ever lopped off the last name of anybody when I was...
No. Well, that's why you're destined to this tawdry life.
Is that why I'm stuck here?
You can hope for nothing better.
You lopped off part of a finger probably somewhere along the way. But the words...
That's why Golda Meir once said that's why you should never learn to type, because then you'll never have to. See, because you're so good at menial tasks, that is your lot in life. That's it.
Why didn't I figure this out before?
You hit your glass ceiling.
Okay.
Okay, 45. Boink. 45 after the hour. Get your face up in there, boy. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is Too Weird, Man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in that promo code, Stephanie, and then say, boom!
Is that what it sounds like when they ring your bell?
They won't, yeah, exactly. They won't know what you mean, but just say, that's the code. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, God, what's for breakfast again? Sarah Palin, word salad. You know, when a headline jumps out at you, Sarah Palin, Obama wants to make white people slaves. Well,
oh,
what?
Boy. Huh?
Well, what?
Did she really say that?
On the Sean Hannity show, she proclaimed that President Obama wants to take America back to the days before the Civil War.
What?
Yes,
you, know, when
you read that correctly.
Were enslaved by blacks.
The African-American president wants to make us slaves again. Sigh. by Anthea Butler wrote this piece. Palin's over-the-top proclamation was quoted in one of her specialty word salads that few can translate, well, except for Jim Ward. It makes it more entertaining when we just have Jim Ward. This is wow, and this is a big chunk.
Oh, boy.
Get some Tums ready. Okay.
Well, what we can glean from this is an understanding of why we are all on the road that we are on, and it's based on what went into his thinking being surrounded by radicals. He is bringing us back, Sean, to days that... You can harken back to days before the Civil War when, unfortunately, too many Americans mistakenly believed that not all men were created equal, and it was the Civil War that began the codification of the truth here in America. Yes, we are equal, and we all have equal opportunities, not based on the color of your skin. You have equal opportunities to work hard and succeed and embrace the opportunities, God-given opportunities, to develop resources and work extremely hard and, as I say, to succeed. Now, it has taken all these years for many Americans to understand that the gravity, that mistake took place before the Civil War and why the Civil War had to really start changing America. What Barack Obama wants to do is go back before those days to when we were in different classes based on income, based on color of skin. Why are we allowing our country to move backwards instead of moving forward with the understanding that as our charters of liberty spell out for us, we are all created equally?
Okay.
Now, lest you think that was just stupid nonsense.
Oh,
that was
my God, that was
obviously a dog whistle to people who believe that the whole idea of diversity, or what we used to call affirmative action, is itself racism. And akin to slavery, and therefore the worst thing ever.
Well, it was in the middle of a segment that was about the supposed smoking gun video from the late Andrew Breitbart.
Right.
Obama introducing Professor Derek Bell at Harvard, which, of course, was a complete...
Well, to the
we've seen
that...
this video before, and he's, you know, and it was obviously edited, as she said, in the same way that the Shirley Sherrod video was. I mean, it was nothing. We've seen this video before.
But to the people Sarah Palin's talking to, it means everything because he's for diversity, which is practically terrorism as far as they're concerned.
Well, that's what I mean. They cast Derek Bell as some sort of radical terrorist. It's like, what? This piece was on Frontline. He was the first black tenured professor at Harvard. Anyway.
And thought maybe it might be nice to have a little more diversity at Harvard. Apparently.
Crazy.
Breitbart thought that was, gotcha!
Terrorism.
Yeah. Slam dunk!
Woo, terrorism. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for the video that we saw 4 years ago.
This piece points out, though, that it was more than that. It was an attempt to turn people away. She's hysterical about the Game Change movie, which, again, proves the point of Game Change, that she's kind of hysterical. Overreactive. Yeah, I mean, she literally is trying to take the attention away from
us. She wants to debate President Obama.
Oh, it's just
crazy. Please
nothing.
Let that happen.
Ever.
Please
let that
which,
happen.
Again, mirrors the scene in Game Change. Like, you know, losing vice president doesn't get to give a speech. No, what? No, you don't get to debate the president. You're nobody. You're not running. Like, what?
I'm a star in my own mind.
Anthea Butler points out in this piece, Palin is teasing about a brokered convention and being willing to serve. Oh, yeah. That's what there you go. Could this clown car get crazier? Yes, it could.
Yes.
These are merely code words to try to rally her flagging base of supporters to give money to Sarah Pack to push back on the HBO movie. Sarah Pack commissioned a video, Game Change We Can Believe In, a highlight reel of Palin on the 2008 campaign trail. And, of course, the Pack is fundraising on the movie, hoping to get money.
Yeah, good luck with that.
For the 2012 race.
Good and luck. In the process, drawing more attention to the movie, which yes. more people will see now, yes. because it'll run on HBO probably forever.
God, that is just pathetic. I don't even, if I hadn't have read the transcript, I wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah.
The first black president trying to enslave.
White people.
Yes.
Trying to enslave whitey.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow. I think Julianne Moore gets an Emmy for that.
She was awesome.
And really sticking Sarah's craw.
The only thing that could be better than that, if there was some news that Pat Robertson had made his co-host horribly uncomfortable with talk of oral sex. Oh, that did happen.
That actually happened.
All right, wow. I have to hear this again when I have a little more time to savor it. Okay, here we go.
Jerry asks, I have to ask this question. Is oral sex between a husband and a wife in a marriage a sin? I don't want to. Don't look at me. I'm too young for that question.
You're too young.
I'm too young.
Do you have a baby? Did you get married?
Oh my Lord! Can we just switch the current up, Pat? You see this?
The Bible doesn't make that sinful. It's a question: what's in your heart?
Really?
You know, what's in your heart? If it's sin, it's sin.
Oh. And the Bible says that something about a bed is undefiled between a husband and a wife. So whatever you guys decide on between a husband and a wife, God bless you, be undefiled. That's what I mean.
It didn't say it is the. It's no, let it
let,
be.
Yeah.
That means don't bring somebody else in.
Exactly. I'm glad you cleared up that scripture for me.
But I think I got a little climped. Any evidence of love and compassion and affection between two people who are married.
All right, let's switch to the next question.
Of what is in your mind if you feel it's in, it's in.
It's a question
so,
of what
I see. So between
mouth.
Two gay mine. People. It, pardon me? What'd you
it's
say?
It's a question of what's in your mouth. Your mind.
Mind.
Pardon
me.
But you know what I meant.
So basically what he's saying is it feels dirty in
you're
your heart.
You're doing it right. Yeah.
Well, if it doesn't feel dirty, what's the point of it?
Right.
If it doesn't feel dirty, you're not doing it right.
Exactly.
It's no fun. God, he just managed to make oral sex not seem sexy. I think so.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, just love and affection. What? Are you kidding me? Okay. So if it feels dirty, then it's a sin. But if it doesn't feel dirty in your heart, it's okay.
Well, only if you bring someone else into your bed.
Mm. Oh.
Anything you do between you
so
and your...
So oral sex between two gays.
That's
no.
a sin.
Yes.
Right.
Bad. Wrong.
But between a married man and a married woman who are married to each other...
Yeah.
There's some wiggle room
in there. You heard Eagle Uncle Chuckle. It's time to get your freak on.
You can do anything you want.
As long as it doesn't feel dirty in your heart. Wow.
Well, if it feels dirty elsewhere, okay then.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think your heart has much to do with sex. I think it's other parts of your body. I've been told.
Well, if it stops beating, then... You know,
well, that's a problem.
I'm just picturing men everywhere getting that. Oh, honey, honey, Pat Robertson says, if you know what, there's nothing but affection in my heart, nothing dirty. So, you know.
You know what I'm saying.
I'm just saying, the Lord does not specifically mention gobbling in the Bible. So.
Ew!
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller, like Brooke did, the official work-from-home atheist in Polk County, Florida.
Hmm.
Steph, I have to get this off my chest. I haven't heard it addressed yet. Why does everyone keep saying that you have to be sleeping around when you're on oral contraception? I was on the pill for 8 years in my 20s, and I had the same partner, one partner, the entire time. More often, women who are on the pill are in a committed relationship, not having one-night stand after one-night stand. Arg.
says the slut.
Yeah.
She's on birth control. Yeah.
Thank you, Brooke. Okay.
That's a very, very good point.
Yep.
Boy, howdy. I wonder who might be able to discuss the Republicans' war on women and how it's backfiring. Why, look, it's Stephanie Shriok of Emily's List. Good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, well, we're doing very well at Emily's List, waging the battle against the war on women.
Yes.
And continue to do so. It gets a little bit crazier every week, it seems.
You're to borrow a phrase, you're manning the effort against the war on women. You recently polled and found the attempts to curtail access to birth control to be a huge loser for the Republican Party. Even among Republicans, who could have seen that coming?
Well, it is absolutely the case. Well, you and I could see that coming.
I mean,
you don't mess with women and their birth control. But I will say we did this poll at Emily's List. We partnered with Planned Parenthood. We went into these are battleground states. So this isn't a national poll. This didn't include voters in California and New York. These are voters in Nevada, Wisconsin, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And over 60% were absolutely opposed to this Blunt amendment that we like to refer to as Blunt Brown, as in Scott Brown of Massachusetts, who is not a moderate, like he says.
Mm.
And they, these voters said, we oppose letting bosses decide what kind of health care you get. And that is really, really important. And then you get into this poll, and what's really amazing, 40% of Republicans said they were less likely to support a candidate who voted for the Blunt Amendment.
Yep. And particularly now we have Mitt Romney saying he would get rid of Planned Parenthood, which, first of all, you can't do. I mean, of course, they contend, as usual, that the remark was taken out of context. Let me read the actual remarks. Mitt Romney said, of course you get rid of Obamacare, that's the easy one, but there are others. Planned Parenthood, we're going to get rid of that. So you can see how he was taken completely out of context.
Right. And this is a guy that, Mitt Romney has been shifting his position so much. There isn't a voter in this country who knows where he actually stands, but we know this. We can't trust him. He is waging this war against women just like the rest of the Republican Party right now, and he's now leading the way
and
trying to get rid of Planned Parenthood. It's outrageous.
And his campaign, by the way, perpetuating this lie, they released a statement saying it's morally irresponsible to borrow money from China to fund our nation's leading abortion provider. When, how many times can we say it's 3% of what Planned Parenthood does?
I mean, and we know this. I mean, Planned Parenthood is about, it's about family planning, but it's about cancer screenings. I mean, this is basic health care that women in this country need. And I think about the fight we had a year ago where we had our just great Democratic women standing up, holding the line in Congress, making sure we saved Planned Parenthood, and we did that. And I'll tell you, what we need to do this November is get some reinforcements in Congress. We have got to elect.
Yep.
We've got to use this time to elect more pro-choice Democratic women in the House of Representatives, in the United States Senate, in every legislature in this country. We have to do it now.
And, by the way, you make a good point about, of course, when he was governor, Romney signed a Planned Parenthood questionnaire that documented broad support for the organization. He also, for example, said that he supported using state tax dollars to fund abortion services through Medicaid for low-income women. He also pledged support to increased access to emergency contraception, such as the morning-after pill, which he now says is the abortive pill. I mean, it really, obviously, that's, I think, what happened in these latest primaries. Everybody in this country knows what an incredible flip-flopper he is.
That's absolutely right. And Mitt Romney, it appears to me, at least in the campaigns that I've seen over the years, this is what I would refer to as pandering to the base. And it's a very, very small base. It is not the Republican Party in general. It is a small base that's voting in these Republican primaries, and he just keeps going there.
Yep. And as your polling says, and your consensus exists, that women should have access to birth control, insurers should cover it, and the decision to use birth control is a private one. Voters decisively object to a wide range of attack on women's health care, strongly continue to support Planned Parenthood. Nearly 2/3, 63% of all voters oppose prohibiting Planned Parenthood from receiving federal funds. I mean, issue after issue that you did in this poll, right?
That is absolutely right. It is clear that the American voters, the American people, really are supporting women and families and family decisions on matters of reproductive health and reproductive choices. And we need to make sure we hold the line here. But I would say this is a time that we've got to look at it as an opportunity. We have to change who is running this country. We have got to get more women in these places. So these conversations would look and sound a lot different. I don't have to tell you how different these committee hearings would be if the people sitting behind the dais were women, or at least half women. Let's try that.
Well, that sounds like a Saturday Night Live sketch. You would have a panel on women's health where no women are invited. No women are allowed in the fort. And more importantly, politically, I was reading this part of your poll. More than three-quarters of Americans believe the issue of birth control shouldn't even be a topic of debate. And 77% say the national political debate shouldn't involve contraception. I mean, that's, I suppose that's the great news politically for us. Right?
It's really interesting. They don't want to talk about it. Republicans have not only, they're not only wrong on the decision that, on the issue that they're talking about, birth control, but they're talking about the wrong thing. People in this country want to talk about jobs. They want to talk about the economy. We are still slowly but surely coming out of this recession. President Obama has really led us, quite frankly, through the Great Recession, and we're scratching our way out slowly but surely. But this is the conversation that we need to be having. And I talked to the women. We've got a historic number of women running for the United States Senate this year. And as I talk to our candidates who are having these discussions with voters on the ground, whether it's Claire McCaskill in Missouri, Elizabeth Warren in Massachusetts, Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin, they are talking about jobs. They are talking about the economy. They're talking about getting people back to work and saving people's homes. And here, the Republican Party is talking about taking away birth control.
Well, you have to give them credit. They have the 2% of Catholic women that don't use birth control nailed down. They have that vote pretty much secured. Here was a surprising one. It makes me a little hinky talking about firing radio hosts, but a majority of Americans, 53%, say Rush Limbaugh should be fired. Almost one-third of Republicans, 30%, agree with that. That was a little bit surprising.
It's, well, you know, anybody who has a daughter or a mother, quite frankly, I guess that includes everybody, should be offended by what Rush Limbaugh said. And look, they are. We're seeing it in this, and we're seeing it by folks making decisions not to listen to him, and more importantly, advertisers walking away. And I think that's how this market works in this country.
Yeah.
We all have the right to say what we want to say, and we also have the right to support what we want to support. And I'm very, very proud of the advertisers who are walking away from him.
Well, you know, I've said this before. You know, here's a little inside radio tip. He can't actually be fired. He doesn't work for somebody in the traditional sense.
Right.
You know, his syndicator can drop him, but another syndicator would very likely pick him up. I mean, you know, you would have to have 600 radio stations all independently decide to drop his show.
Right.
But, you know, like you say, there certainly are tipping points, and Dr. Laura hit hers. You know, she said this was a First Amendment thing. You have the right to yell the N-word 11 times on your radio show, and then you have the right to suffer the consequences of that. But no one's trying to, you know, no one took her First Amendment right away.
Right. Well, that's exactly right. We as Americans, we can choose not to listen. And advertisers can choose not to support those types of radio shows. And that's exactly what's happening with Rush Limbaugh. And I certainly hope it continues to happen, because this kind of language is just not appropriate.
Yep.
And he should be held to the consequences of that.
Emily, just a great year to be Stephanie Shriok is all I'm saying. And to be at Emily's list, because we are. We're in the midst of a war on women, and, you know, we have to thank Rush Limbaugh for adding his face to, you know, what are just horrific misogynist policies in a lot of places, right? These transvaginal probes.
My gosh. And state by state, we're getting more and more outrageous pieces of legislation. But I just got to remind people, you know, we all watch what happened in Virginia with the transvaginal probe situation. But I just want everybody to know that, you know, the state of Texas and Mississippi and Oklahoma have incredibly invasive laws already on the the books. Women in those states have to have mandatory sonograms before anything happens, and that means to be blunt, these are vaginal sonograms.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's already law in some places, and that's why this election is so incredibly important. Some of this stuff happens without us paying attention. Well, we're paying attention now. Women across the country are paying attention now.
Listen,
we
even
pay attention every single day until election day.
Tell you what, Tea Party Republican women that want smaller government, they may not want the government to be allowed to stick something in your vagina. Maybe that will finally make them understand what big government really is, right?
Well, and I think that's why we're seeing independent women moving towards the Democrats. We're seeing Republican women moving. We're seeing, 40% of Republicans who are less likely to support a candidate who supports this Blunt Amendment to allow your boss to tell you what kind of health care you want.
Yep.
So we're seeing it happen, but we've got 8 months, and we really have to keep this. We've got to keep it going. But what we really have to do is make sure that every woman in this country knows what's at stake this election.
Yep, absolutely. It's a great year to be named, Stephanie, and I congratulate you on that. Stephanie Shriok of Emily's List. Talk again soon.
Absolutely, Stephanie. Thank you for everything.
All right. Thank you, honey. There she goes.
Aww.
It's the sisters. Hey, Rush Limbaugh was wrong about something,
which
I know is shocking, so I'll tell you what it was when we come back 18 minutes after the hour. Shocked, I tell you, shocked. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
All the time, bitch.
Good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Isn't that the gal from the Lobster Band?
Rescue me, I'm just a chick. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Danette in Georgia. Hey, Danette.
Hey, Stephanie. Long time. I haven't talked to you guys in a while.
I know. Go ahead.
Well, I've been seriously researching different women's organizations and stuff that I can become active in because I don't want my daughter to suffer under the boot of the Republican Vaginal Management Jobs Program.
Yes. Yes. And Emily's List is a good place to start.
It is. And I was very glad to hear you guys had her on. You know, it's crazy. I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one screaming at my television. Going,
yep.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
White men are trying to enslave my uterus.
I keep throwing my paper calendar at the TV. It's 2012, not 1970.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm like, really?
Yep. All right. By the way, I know this is breaking news to Rush Limbaugh was wrong about something.
What?
Uh-oh.
Here to clear the schlut controversy all but over, claiming victory against Democrats and the Obama media.
Uh-huh.
So he pointed to the CBS New York Times poll that showed the president's approval rating down. So they've lost. Not only did it backfire so badly that Obama's lost tremendous, humongous ground in approval numbers.
That's a lie.
Gallup's daily polling found the president's approval rating at 47%, the exact same as it was on February 28th, the day before Limbaugh's controversial comments. Julie in Seattle also wrote, Steph, ha-ha, I knew it. I read a whole bunch of stuff yesterday on how the polling that showed Obama at 40% approval, his lowest ever, was an outlier using flawed, inadequate sampling, etc. The idea that gas prices sent the president's approval rating down 10 points in a week, even as employment, consumer spending, confidence in the Dow hitting 3,000, seemed ridiculous to me, according to this, 13,000, I think. Seemed ridiculous to me. According to this new Reuters Ipsos poll, it was ridiculous. Poor Joe Scarborough, Rush and company. They were so happy yesterday, imagining Obama was really as unpopular as they wish he was.
Hmm.
Let's see. By the way, I'm looking at even the matchups. Obama over Santorum, 52-42%.
Right.
Gingrich by 54-37%. I think
wow.
Romney by 12 points. I don't know what the hell Rush is talking about. Here it is. Let's see. For the first time since early July, more Americans approve of the job President Obama is doing than disapprove, according to a Reuters Ipsos poll shows his approval rating now at 50%. I'm sure Rush will cover this today.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
On the heels of the reports that 227,000 jobs were added to the U.S. economy in February indicates that Obama's rating has risen by 2 percentage points during the past months. So and this is what I love about Rush. Whenever there's a good poll, it's obviously crap.
Right. skewed or...
When this clearly one poll was an outlier, then it's, you know...
Then it's gospel.
Right. All the other polls are clearly showing the same thing.
So if the election were held today, it never is.
No. That's right. For most Americans, other economic trends during the past month have been relatively positive. Obama appears to be benefiting from that, perhaps from a bitter Republican presidential campaign, blah, blah, blah. Romney received support of 37% of Republicans. They're not even getting a majority of Republicans. 32% for Rick Santorum in this same poll.
How do you win in the general election if you're not even getting... Wow.
Oh, sorry. And then in this one, Obama led Romney 52-41% than all the other candidates by even more. I mean, there's basically all of the pollsters are saying the same thing. The one benefiting the most from the Republican primary, President Obama. His numbers just... There's another one. Why, looky here. Poll. Obama leads all GOP candidates in head-to-head contests. President Obama leading all the Republican presidential candidates in head-to-head matchups, according to another new poll released by Pew. This one by Pew.
Pew, 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 Pew. Pew.
Obama leading Romney in this one by 12 points, even further ahead of Santorum, 57% to 29% in a head-to-head matchup with Frothy.
That's a lot.
His approval rating 50% in this poll as well.
Well, that's why he's returning back to the days before the Civil War when we didn't have the freedom of the liberty of the freedom, right, freedom, liberty.
All right, sir. By a 59% to 32% margin, most Americans think President Obama will win election if Mitt Romney is the nominee. The margin far wider, Rick Santorum is the nominee. 68% think Obama would win, with just 24% predicting a Frothy, another Santorum.
Sci guy in the chat room says 57-29 is worse than Goldwater.
Hi! Hey! A majority of Americans have an unfavorable view of the Republican candidates after a long primary, confirming fears among Republicans the primary is weakening all the candidates. Survey found the contentious primary has taken a toll on the image of the leading Republican. In the current survey, just 29% of Americans say they have a favorable view of Romney. Wow, while 51% say they have an unfavorable impression. And Barack, having just spoken to Stephanie Shriok, Barack Obama's lead over Romney is attributable in large part to his wider advantage among women. Younger voters and non-whites, women favor Obama over Romney by 20 points. 20 points, Rush.
That's probably expanded to 30 points by now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That poll's probably taken before.
Chicks
like
dig
I said, he's lost entirely. He's lost for women.
Chicks dig Obama even more.
Joe in Long Beach. Hey, Joe.
Oh, hey, Stephanie. How's it going?
Good.
Hey,
go ahead.
I have just a couple points. With regards to Planned Parenthood, I understand that the GOP party actually would like to eliminate Title X, which Planned Parenthood falls under. Now, also that it falls under Title X or is funding for, you know, free clinics. And I had a conversation with a man online. Basically, you know, a lot of teenagers use these, teenagers from middle and upper class families that have access to health care, who are having sex, but who are afraid to, you know, inform their parents of that fact, use these clinics for contraception and also to get tested for STDs and HIV. And even though Romney's not specifying Title X, he's just saying Planned Parenthood, he would like to get rid of Title X program.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
But listen, she is a sweet, caring, slightly too graphic woman who deserves better.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Kyle in Louisville, Kentucky. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
I think another thing I'd like to reiterate about Rush Limbaugh, he also has no concept of about how the birth control pill works.
No, he's not good with pills and the exact number to take.
Yeah, he said after every time you have sex, you take another pill. Mm-hmm. They're not like his pain pills, and somebody should inform him of that.
Yes.
And this is the second time I've heard something about Governor Rick Perry making a requirement for a
medical requirement for women to have either a vaccine or some sort of medical operation. So that's not very conducive to a small government politician. And another thing is, Newt Gingrich is also putting things in vaginally probing where he shouldn't, too. So
yes, yes. They really have a problem with that, with all things vaginal. Yeah. Okay.
Chris Christie thinks all women should get lipo because he hates fat chicks.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, so, wowee, it's another story about Rick Santorum's attitude, as Charlie Pierce calls it.
Mm-hmm.
Santorum to Puerto Rico. Speak English if you want statehood.
Oh, yeah. God. He goes to Puerto Rico looking for votes and then says, hey, y'all got to speak English.
That
good.
Is a statement at odds with the United States Constitution, right. By the way.
Yep.
That they'll have to make
how many here. Votes could he pick up in Puerto Rico, I wonder?
Oh, boy. Hmm. Okay. Okay. Republicans and the Hispanic vote?
Mm. Computer says yeah. No.
Not so much.
Not so much. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Republican pundits say it should be an easy get for Republicans to get the Hispanic vote,
sure.
But they're making it really, really hard.
Well, at least Mitt Romney is so authentic and likable. Is he really? He's just trying to embrace this now. Did he actually just say this? Hey, guess what? I'm rich.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Guess what? I made a lot of money. I've been very successful. I'm not going to apologize for that. I know the DNC tries to push this out, and they get it on the mainstream media networks, and that's where you guys see it, and everybody laughs about it, because in this country, we want someone who can help other people become successful.
Yeah, but we don't.
This is a nation which is not going to choose our president based on these little innuendos and personal attacks.
Well, they're not going to choose you, that's for damn sure.
What? Did he just become a richer douche that everybody hates? Yeah. Yes, he did.
Computer.
Yes,
that's, yeah.
Yes,
how
he did.
Do you make it possible for other people to become wealthy by sending their jobs overseas?
Yes.
How does that help exactly?
Well, it helps people in the other countries. Okay, mittens again.
Some who are very conservative may not be yet in my camp, but they will be when I become the nominee, when I face Barack Obama. Because, again, what the nation wants is someone who understands the economy. Not a, if you will, an economic lightweight. I mean, Senator Santorum's a nice guy,
sure.
But he does not understand how the economy works.
No.
The Lord works the economy.
Yes. Mitt Romney's losses in Alabama and Mississippi underscore a stark reality. The core of his party does not want him. Associated Press story. That lingering conservative dissatisfaction on display Tuesday night threatens to follow Romney into the general election against a Democratic president whose ability to inspire his base is not in question. If you see this website, Barack Obama Loves You Too, it's a whole montage of clips of almost at every speech someone yells, we love you.
Oh.
He says back, I love you. I love you too.
Okay.
I don't think anyone has ever yelled that at a Mitt Romney rally.
No.
These huge, rapturous crowds yelling, we love you.
I don't even think anyone yelled that at a George W. Bush rally. Can't imagine anyone would.
Yeah. I thought this was stunning. And I'm not sure what's normal, but I don't remember a candidate not showing up. He made no public appearances. He didn't make a speech Tuesday night. Instead, he offered a written statement that congratulated Santorum while reminding people with his Rain Man statement of his huge delegate advantage.
That the math is,
yeah. Definitely.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Coming for more than 70,000.
This is just so out of touch. With the delegates won tonight, we're even closer to the nomination. Ann and I would like to thank the people of Alabama and Mississippi for the drubbing for the third place finish you've just given us.
Wow.
Because of their support, our campaign is on the move.
Who says I'm out of touch?
Huh? And ready to take on President Obama in the fall.
If they are, I can't hear them.
Ooh.
Woof, woof.
Yeah, and despite this, I have to say a whopping 74% of likely voters think Romney will capture the Republican nomination, according to an ABC News Washington Post poll. That's the problem. I have to say I agree with Newt Gingrich on that. The whole process, stupid. Stupid process.
Stupid.
I'm not a stupid candidate. Stupid process. Stupid. Coming into this week's contest, Romney had more delegates than his rivals combined and is amassing them at a rate that puts him on track to clinch control of the nomination before the convention in August. I mean, somebody did an analysis here. Let me look. Here's the fun facts.
Okay.
Front runner. Oh, our friends at is this Think Progress, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Front runner. Over 60% of Republican votes cast so far have been against Romney.
Yeah.
I mean, their process is stupid. Stupid.
Stupid.
Stupid. yes, despite his triumphs in Alabama and Mississippi, Rick Santorum still walked away with fewer delegates last night than Mitt Romney. How does that, what? Who took, because of wins in Hawaii and American Samoa. This may be proving my theory that the delegates weigh more, and maybe they count for more.
Spam. What is spam?
But the media's focus on the delegate count obscures how poorly Romney has fared. Due to the complexities, complications, quite frankly, the unfairness of the GOP system of awarding delegates, Romney is far more overrepresented in delegates than his popular support. And they did an actual graph. Popular vote, Romney is 138%, Santorum and other at 62%. The delegate count, Romney is at 53%, Santorum and other is at 47%. Despite describing himself as the presumptive nominee, Romney's support from less than two-fifths of the Republican vote shows how fundamentally weak he remains.
Maybe they should just be running other.
Yeah,
that seems to fare much better.
Other doesn't.
But you know what? I don't think that would be a good idea because you know Sarah Palin and her greediness. She'll just take over other.
I just changed my name to other.
I'm a writing
Sarah
winner.
Other.
I win.
Yay!
Oh, can I have some Simone music, please? Just kidding. Okay. Mitch wins 70 Samoans at the Tawa Bar and Grill. That's what it was.
Oh, wow.
Mitt Romney finished third, of course, in Alabama and Mississippi, but he salvaged a win in Hawaii and won the support of all nine delegates at the Republican caucuses in American Samoa.
Yippee.
Yeah. He picked up, the GOP caucus on the island was held at Toa Bar and Grill in Pago Pago, and 70 people were there.
Pago Pago.
With all
a
nine
town.
Delegates publicly backing Romney.
Sounds so nice they named it twice.
Yeah. Exactly. As Newt Gingrich said, he said, if you're the front runner and you keep coming in third, you're not much of a front runner.
Well, there have been some people reasoning why Mitt Romney has done so well, like in the Pacific Islands. The Mormon Church has done a whole lot of missionary work in the Pacific Islands. BYU has a campus on Oahu.
Okay,
so,
then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that seemed to be the opposite. Alabama and Mississippi. Wow, we evangelicals played an outside role in both of Tuesday's primary states. In Mississippi and Alabama, 80% or more of voters leaving the polling places said they were born again Christians or evangelicals.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. And I think it was the whole, you know.
She's not a Christian!
Thing.
Oh, dear.
In case you hadn't noticed, he's a Mormon.
You're dark-sided, too!
Yes, they did not vote for the dark-sided one, apparently. All right.
I'm a God warrior!
Dark-sided? I'm as white as I could be.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I couldn't be whiter.
All right, Romney on Frothy.
Senator Santorum is at the desperate end of his campaign and is trying in some way to boost his prospects. And frankly, misrepresenting the truth is not a good way of doing that.
At the desperate end. It doesn't seem like at the desperate end that he's winning every primary. Here's a story about Newt. Finding an exit can be tough in presidential races. Well, particularly when you're that large. It's hard to find a
perfect.
Large enough
I
door.
I can't get out of here. I'm stuck. Anyone got any WD-40, frankly?
Newt Gingrich's campaign...
My head won't fit through the door.
No. Yeah, his ego, his ass and his ego can't fit through any door. That's the problem. His campaign, they'd pinned his future on the two Deep South primaries, which, of course, he lost both of those. Speaking at a Republican dinner, though, Wednesday night in Illinois, he defiantly proclaimed that no other candidate offers policy solutions as bold. They are bold. Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm still running. The vacuum is so huge.
Huge.
Can
huge.
Only be filled by my enormous ego and my enormous ass, apparently. And calling his effort the politics of big ideas.
Yeah.
Oh, big, they are big.
Stupid ideas.
They are
big. Lousy ideas.
Most really bad ideas are big. Really big.
Really
big. Bad ideas. That's all I'm saying. All right. Katie in Chicago. Hi, Katie. Welcome.
Hi. I am enjoying the laughs and the giggles on your show. I am listed as conservative and open. I try to listen to everything and have found myself filling my calendar at the radio a few times and listening to your show. And unfortunately, I was listening a week or two ago, and your last guest, I think, had mentioned the N-word and how ridiculous it is to use that. And in my opinion, the same comparison would be made to Caucasians being called whitey or cracker.
Oh, because I called the southern primaries cracker land, right?
No, I didn't hear that one. But that's also somewhat... difficult to take, but two of the radio hosts last week, or actually it was maybe a month ago, called two of the GOP candidates, one a whitey and one a cracker. So, you know, the inflammatory language is just polarizing us so much more, and I'm just, you know, I was hoping maybe Ron Paul would have a chance as a libertarian, because we need a third party. This just isn't working. I love everybody, and I want to hear everybody, and just to hear everything tacked on,
And I have another point. Do you have time?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
Do you think white people find cracker as offensive as black people find the N-word?
I don't know. I don't know what would be more offensive.
Oh, come on.
I'm trying to think about it. What else?
There's a whole history that
kind of nobody has ever hung a white person while yelling cracker.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But I don't know what.
So you think the word cracker and the N word have the same weight?
I don't know. I'm trying to think what the other word would be.
Wow.
All right.
I have to disagree with you.
All right. Well, Katie, I appreciate. Oh, okay. One more point. Go ahead.
So the women's thing, the woman that came on, and I am definitely a woman, and I support her right to her body. And the woman said, you know, we need to focus on the economy. I don't know why the conservatives continue to focus on the women's issue. And then she went into her women's issue, and, you know, she mentioned the economy, and it's just like, why are we continuing this discussion? There are a lot of big things that include both sexes that, you know, jobs and economy.
Yes, and that's why 70-something percent of the American people don't understand why we're talking about contraception. That's
right.
The point.
Right. So,
all right.
And, you know, that the language of a vaginal probe versus a transvaginal ultrasound is a little challenging. It, you know, I've had a transvaginal ultrasound. It's non-invasive. It was very difficult. You
well,
know,
it's
I have
not
right. It's also known as a transvaginal probe, though. That's a medical
yes.
term.
Well, the tool that you use is a transvaginal probe, but the medical procedure
right.
is a transvaginal ultrasound.
Okay.
Probe is a noun
and
a verb.
That's
so,
not just me talking dirty.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
it's called.
No,
it's called
no,
a trend.
I
okay.
understand. It just, if we can all look at the language that we're all using, right. it would be appreciated.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Watch your language, Steph.
Yeah. No. It's Whitey doesn't.
Please, no. Yeah, they,
no
that does
that
not
has.
Hold
no.
the same gravity as the N-word,
the N-word
at
is,
all.
Is designed
and because I call the medical
it.
Device by its proper name, I'm being a dirty
yeah.
little slut.
You
apparently.
Are. Watch your language.
Yeah, stop that.
It's not like I said
slut.
A trans probe. Okay. Oh, by the way, I forgot. This is kind of fairly hilarious because I told you, it's always a good day when I get called the C-word.
Oh, yeah.
And actually... Because this person also agrees that I'm a racist for saying Crackerland, so they use the other C word to tell me what a racist name caller I am.
I mean,
you see,
things for
can
white
you see
people
that?
Are funny.
Can you see
though?
That on Ustream? Is that okay to put that on Ustream? It's a subject line right there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You racist is the subject line.
All right.
Kent. It's from Kent.
Which sounds like another word.
Yeah, sure. Sounds like that word.
And he quotes me in a letter to me. When it's okay to use racist language, and he quotes me. So what happens in Crackerland this week, as we like to say, we have what? Alabama and Mississippi coming up Tuesday. Progressive talk radio host Stephanie Miller. See what he did there?
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, I am pro-life, but I would have made an exception in your case. You shouldn't have been born, you racist bitch.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
Okay.
Cracker. I mean, how?
I am a C word. I am a... We're using the C word, Crackerland. Pardon me. All right.
So, I don't see how that's offensive.
Maybe some
to
of our
the really big news about that was not from a Ron Paul supporter.
Right.
That
yeah.
C word letter, that is shocking. 48 minutes.
Maybe some of our African American listeners can call in and tell us if there's a difference between cracker and
yeah.
the N word. I'd like to hear
or maybe
their
even
side.
Some crackers.
Yes. I'd like to hear their side.
Or how about, you know, honky?
You know,
just funny. I mean,
you got a bunch
a,
of crackers here talking
means.
About it. I'd like to hear
yeah.
from some African American people.
Yeah. I suspect it has a bigger
maybe Aisha
impact
Tyler
than...
will call in and talk about how she likes to lick her cracker, as she refers to her husband.
Licks the salt off her cracker.
Mm-hmm. Totally. 48 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
What are the politics of dancing?
John to the left.
They're the politics
John
of feeling
right.
good.
Oh, okay.
53 minutes after the hour. Welcome to I'm Offended Thursday on the Stephanie Miller Show. Chris
How
Yankton.
How dare you?
Chris in Yankton writes, Steph, I was watching the Ustream yesterday. I have one question. How many Polacks does it take to untangle a headphone cord?
Oh.
All right, you know what? Listen.
I don't know
don't
what
tell
you...
Sylvester in Chicago, who was offended that I called myself a Polack
right.
yesterday. Chris says, P.S., I have only in Lena jokes to insult my own people if necessary.
Yes, yes he is he's Scandinavian.
Those are Scandinavian jokes.
Yes, they are.
Only in Lena. Oofta.
I'm too much of a mutt to be offended by any stereotypes.
I'll just sit over here and eat my poutine.
Paul in Reno, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Paul.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
You know, the people need to understand the history of the word cracker. You know, it was the man in the field that used to crack the whip.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the word cracker comes from.
Mm.
And I'm originally from Florida, and white people in Florida that are from there say it proudly, I'm a Florida cracker. You never hear anybody black say it proudly, I'm a Florida N-word. You know, that is the most vile, hateful word ever invented in the English language.
Paul, I will tell you later today, right-wing radio hosts were going to be going, oh, no, that black people call themselves the N-word, which I suppose in some instances is true. But
it is true, right. But we don't walk around probably saying, oh, I'm a Florida N-word or
right.
I'm a something. You know, it's if a white person, and whether it's fair or not, were to call a black person the N-word, in a hateful or a mad way, they better be ready to fight right then. And I'm not saying it's fair, but it's just how it is, because that word is a vile, hateful, demeaning.
Thank you. Yep, thank you. And I'm basing it on the fact that Aisha Tyler's cracker husband obviously doesn't mind her calling him a cracker, so perhaps I'm wrong. But
well, Pat Robertson would say that's within their marriage. They can do anything they want.
Within their marriage. They pull peanut butter off each other. God bless you.
She can lick salt off of whatever she wants.
I don't imagine there's a cracker in the world that would object Aisha Tyler
no.
calling them anything as long as she's licking their cracker, is all I'm saying. Okay, let's... how did we get onto that?
I have no idea.
Taya, am I saying that right? In North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Tia? Taya?
It's just T, like the letter.
T, okay.
Well, the last caller just totally stole my glory. I was all hyped up about it. But, to compare anything, I would say the H word. I don't know if I can say it without you guys having to believe it. Starts with a ho, ends with something that rhymes with me.
Yes.
I'm terrible at that kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, cracker, seriously, how does he not know that calling a white person a cracker versus calling a black person an N-word in this day and age?
Right.
How does he not compare the two?
Yeah, I mean, I speak for all three of us honkies. We are not offended. I mean, it almost sounds cartoonish, that word. Doesn't it? I mean, that's all I'm saying is you can't compare something, you know, when we have a history of slavery in this country. You just can't, yeah.
I got called that word in this state for the first time in my life. Okay, it's not something that we just say. Oh, I'm just saying it. No, it's painful.
Yep, exactly. All right, Joan in Chicago. Hi, Joan.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I was calling to agree with the other caller about the transvaginal ultrasound because, you know, the really offensive part when the doctor's shoving the instrument up my hoo-ha against my wishes and against my doctor's medical judgment is calling it a transvaginal probe instead of a transvaginal ultrasound, not some effectively being raped by the state.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Call it what it is. Probe. All right. All right. Thank you, honey. Let's go to Garrett in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Garrett.
Hey, Seth, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
First of all, honky is one of the funniest words in the American language.
It is.
Yeah,
it's funny.
You
just have to laugh.
Yeah.
Come on.
Second of all, there is no way anybody could try to compare the N-word versus cracker, and to try to just is ridiculous. They don't hold the same weight. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And besides, I didn't say cracker. I said cracker land. Okay.
I wonder if the word honky derived from sort of upper class twits and just the way they talk, the Thurston Howell sort of.
Hmm.
Sort of a honking sort of sound.
Yeah, know. Scott in Illinois. Hey, Scott. Hello, Scott. Did I do that correctly?
I think I did.
Matt.
Offended because you called him a honky.
Yeah, Matt in Chicago. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Stephanie. I'd like to be called the official cracker of the Chicagoland area.
Thank you. That's two C words.
I'm really enjoying the Pat Robertson imitations.
On then. We got to play that again after the break.
Yeah.
58 minutes after the
Pat
hour.
Pat Robertson talking about oral sex?
Let's
you got to hear that.
I'm not great about that. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Tomorrow, Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang. SexyLiberal.com. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Check it out. Tickets going fast for all the upcoming shows. Hooray! Only a very few left, I'm told, for the next one. Albuquerque, March 31st. Madison, April. Already sold out. Sorry. I'm supposed to stop mentioning it.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
But May, Aisha Tyler Show. May in Minneapolis. There's a few tickets left for that. Also going to...
I hear May is a gorgeous time in Minneapolis.
Yeah, and then they may all be gone with the Aisha Tyler talk we've had this morning, because then people Google her and see hot pictures, and then
picture her licking things, and crackers. Just the whole thing.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. You can email us all at the regular old horse-drawn, stephaniemiller.com. Oh, like Raphael did, this is with the, it's kind of a squeezy letter.
Oh, boy.
Dear Steph, love you, devoted listeners. So devoted, I was listening to your show a few days ago. I couldn't help make an arousing connection between two of your sponsors. As you were speaking to praises of the amazing GoToMeeting, you mentioned how you were using it to demonstrate the new no-no hair removal system. I don't want to sound like a deviant, but images of you in front of the camera grooming your no-no parts may or may not have popped into my mind. But why not capitalize on the completely normal fetishes of your listeners and bring your other sponsors into the fantasy? Why not use GoToMeeting with HD Faces while grooming your bikini line, while doing P90X, while backing up your video, your computer to Carbonite, all the while slowly eating some Sherry's berries? You're missing a great opportunity here. Just saying, some people might be into that. Not some people, not me, of course. Raphael, who's not into that kind of thing, clearly.
You left out the gemgram.
While wearing a hoodie footie?
Yeah. Yeah, because that makes it all so
sexy. It's hard to get to your bikini line. Oh, boy. Speaking of sexy time, oh, dear. Don't you hate when you die having sex with a hooker and
get on
the paper?
No.
Oh,
not just any paper, but your paper.
Oh. Portland newspaper sends off dead editor by revealing his infidelity. Gawker.
Yeah. Oh.
Dear. Gawker writes, the Portland Oregonian's editorial editor, Bob Caldwell, died over the weekend. The newspaper employed him for 29 years and honored him by his passing by reporting that he died while a 23-year-old woman who was nice. Wife.
Right. Oh, boy.
I smell an episode of Portlandia.
Or the Oregonian's original obituary noted his big smile and bigger laugh and said he simply died of a heart attack and that more information will be published as it becomes available. And boy, did it become available. Mm-hmm. The paper soon ran an update to report the unfortunate circumstances. Oh, dear. Bob Caldwell, blah, 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 was in the apartment of a 23-year-old woman when he went into cardiac arrest Saturday afternoon. The woman called 911 to report that Caldwell was coughing and then unresponsive after a sex act. The woman told deputies she met Caldwell and said she didn't have much money, so he provided her cash for books and other things for school in exchange for sex acts in her apartment. I love this. Caldwell had not given her money Saturday, though, so they decided against pursuing prostitution charges.
There is that. The money. Wait a minute. Aren't they supposed to collect the money up front?
Am I a prostitute? Well, yes. Not on that day. Not Saturday.
Oh, well then.
Some days.
Now, I don't know much about the hooker business, but I always thought that you're supposed to get the money first and then...
Well, he was buying her books and things for college, you see. It wasn't that kind of a financial relationship,
All right.
You see.
Okay.
Absolutely no connection between...
Thank you, Squeezy. Okay, Susan in Albuquerque. Hi, Suze.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm trying to get tickets to see you guys when you come in.
Yeah, get it. Get it.
Hey, listen, I figured, if I'm correct, Pat Robertson says oral sex in marriage is okay, correct?
As long as you don't think it's dirty in your heart.
Well, I just figured out why he's changed his tune.
Why is that?
Didn't he just say about pot, that smoking pot should be legal?
Yes.
I think he's
high.
He's high.
Yeah.
He's definitely, he's into experimentation now.
Yeah, it's just like all those years I thought I was the only one listening to Rush going, is he on drugs?
Yeah, well, I think we all knew that.
And then it turned out.
Yes,
and now we know.
Well,
Pat Robertson?
I think if you look at the fingernails of your hand, you imagine the little cells in there, and each one is like a tiny universe.
He said pot, not LSD.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
boy.
Well.
Oh, boy. All right. Yeah, isn't that what you want to hear it again? Yeah, because
we have to.
It's really creepy.
We've had people tune in since the morning.
So creepy. Mm-hmm. Here is Pat Robertson.
Jerry ass.
I have to ask this question. Is oral sex between a husband and a wife in a marriage a sin? I don't want to. Don't look at me. I don't. I'm too young for that question.
You're too young.
I'm too young.
Do you have a baby? Did you get married?
Oh, my Lord. Can we just switch the current outfit? You see this?
The Bible doesn't make that sinful. It's a question of what's in your heart. You know, what's in your heart? Oh, if to yeah. you it's sin, it's sin. Oh.
And the Bible says that, you know, something about a bed is undefiled between a husband and a wife. So whatever you guys decide on between
it
a husband and a wife,
let
God bless you, be undefiled. That's what I mean.
It didn't say it is the, it's
no,
let it
let,
be.
Yeah.
That means don't bring somebody else in there.
Exactly. Oh. I'm glad you cleared up that scripture for me.
But
I think I got flimped.
Any evidence of love and compassion and affection between two people who are married.
Turn off. All right, let's switch to the next question.
Can we move on to the next question, please?
So,
turn off.
Okay.
La, I can't hear you.
Yeah, so really?
If it doesn't seem dirty in your heart, then what's the point of it?
Yeah, but it's,
that's no fun.
Well.
You're not doing it right. It doesn't feel dirty. Okay. Wow, that was creepy.
It feels dirty somewhere.
Awkward. Could you just
it's
say,
not in your heart.
Get your freak on as Pat Robertson?
I think you should get your freak on if you... If you're within the sanctity of the marriage bed, I think everything goes.
Okay. All right. I think that's what he was
I'm
saying.
High
we're just
as a kite right now.
So high.
On the giggle weed.
Oh, my God.
It's the Lord's Fruit Loops.
I got to go to Costco to get some Cheetos. Wait.
The entire Toes food group.
Yeah.
Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos.
I want to eat everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's no
anybody
surprise
else hungry?
That I'm not against goblin. I'd eat anything right now.
I feel like a leg price of the entire world right now.
All right.
Wow.
You know I don't like to repeat gossip. Although, one cat's headline is, Rush Limbaugh's hot 35-year-old wife, fourth wife, is so mad, you guys. let's see. One cat is funny, I just have to say. Trouble in heaving fat goat paradise, according to, let's see, blah, blah, blah. Oh, which, is this the Inquirer? Yes, Rush Limbaugh, marriage on the rocks, modestly whispers the National Enquirer headline. Insiders is inside say it, the beloved bride Catherine is ready to walk. It seems Catherine Rush is not taking too kindly to being snubbed and lambasted by everyone she's ever met for being bound in the holiest matrimony to a sweaty, loathsome, snorkeling, terribly inelegant and not nice person like Limbaugh, who, of course, apologized for those two words, slut and prostitute, but not the idea behind them. Blah, 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 blah. She's furious that the 61-year-old conservative firebrand threatened to walk out of their marriage if he keeps up his trash talk, say insiders. Rush's big mouth has caused a rift in his fourth marriage. Sources say he's now running for cover from 35-year-old Catherine, a Florida event planner. Maybe the next event she's planning is a D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Catherine
Were you just singing Tammy Wynette? Wow, really?
I'm going to go make some cookies.
All right.
Catherine is fit to be tied, said a pal. She feels as if she's being tarred and feathered with the same brush that people are using on her husband. She really let him have it. She said she's become a social pariah because of his hot-headed, heedless comments and warned him in no uncertain terms he better keep his trap shut or stop using words like slut for any woman. Oh, well. Oh, dear.
I bet she's still very much in love with his money.
With the giant bags of cash that are delivered on a daily basis. All right.
She's very good looking. I think she could do better.
Lynette in Minnesota. Hello, Lynette.
Hello. You know, as long as we're doing the word salad thing, and we're talking about lewd words, which one to use, think about like this. Like, the first word that's ever come up for a group of person or a person, like for a woman, if she's called a slut or a whore, it's not as bad as if you call a guy a gigolo. Woohoo! That sounds kind of
just
fun.
Gigolo.
And,
yeah.
and then it's about power. It's like if you're going to call somebody the N-word, that means they don't have any power. You do. If you're the cracker, well, you're the whip cracker. You're the one with the power.
Thank
Nobody's
going
to insult you. So that's what's behind the word salad.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Russell in Delaware. Hi, Russell.
How you doing, sweet thing?
Hello, Russell. You what?
How you doing, sweet thing?
Oh, I'm sweet. Go ahead, Russell.
I just called up. I wanted to answer Chris's question. He wanted to hear from one of the brothers about why the word is so much worse if you use the N-word than the other?
Yeah.
Than the cracker word, yes.
Yeah. Here's the deal. You can be a cracker, and at the same time, you can be an astrophysicist. You can be a redneck, and you can be a president, I guess, if you've been paying attention the last few years. But, see, the thing is, if you're an N-word, that's it. That's all you can be. It's a limitation. You can't be anything but that.
Yeah, very good point.
Yep, yeah. Yep. All right, thank you, Russell. Yeah, let's go to Mac in Los Angeles. Hey, Mac, welcome. Oh, here you are. Welcome. Hey, Mac.
Hey, how are you? My thing was, if she thinks the N-word isn't that bad compared to, say, any of the other words that are being used, how about if you're called the N-word, no matter what your race is? If I call you an N-word right now, how would that make her feel? Not you, Steph.
Yeah, it's an ugly word. It would make me feel bad, and I'm born from a white father and an even whiter mother.
Yeah, so the word is insulting no matter who it's used against.
Right. Yeah.
Just,
right.
It's,
yeah.
It's just bad. Like, honky is honky-dory. Things are good when you're honky-dory. Not that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, is this Mac as in Macaroni, the official rapper of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Oh, no, it is not. No. This is Mac, the black Mormon military guy.
Oh,
of the Stephanie
Miller
Show. All right, that Mac. All right, got it. All right, 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Side effects may include loss of clothing, rug burn, shortness of breath, and sore abdominals the next morning. What in the world is up?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Child is black, a child is white. The whole world looks upon a sight, a beautiful sight.
After the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Cordell in Kentucky. Hi, Cordell.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's the official gay blog screenwriter of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Okay, just before I get to my point, I do have a question. We still are in 2012, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, then, would somebody explain to me why that obvious Koch brother plant thinks it's no, there's no difference when somebody is called the N-word versus the C-word?
Right.
Let me tell you something. I've been called the N-word by people like her who are from the South, and every time they say it, they know exactly what they're doing. It's nothing but hate. They've been told it's cool to say that. And I wouldn't even be surprised if somebody told her that, oh, we'll give you a nice fit and fat bonus if you go down and give us all the top of the points, which is exactly what she did. So if it sounds like I'm pissed off, I apologize. I am pissed off.
Yes, well, that's exactly. Thank you. Exactly. I don't think in 2012 anyone needs to explain why that word is worse. Transvaginal probe. Okay. She also didn't like that word.
No.
I'm just stating a medical, you know, naming a medical object.
Mm-hmm. TVP.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You know, it's ironic. Rush Limbaugh was talking about contraception when he should have just taken a page from his sponsors, including the U.S. Army, which has just pulled out. They had an exit plan from Rush Limbaugh's show.
Yes, they do.
Yes. They will be joining at least 140 other advertisers in pulling out. He is still on Armed Forces Radio, though, and guess who isn't?
Stephanie Miller.
The slutty Bob Hope, whom the troops would love.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to go on a USO tour.
There you go.
Some sort of flag bikini or something?
Absolutely. I think they'd love that.
I'll borrow an outfit of Brick Eklund's from, there I don't know, go. One of Bob Hope's specials.
I don't think that would fit on you.
No. Mm-hmm. No, she
I
was...
I can stuff it.
Mm. Just bring your no-no.
All right. All right. Alan in Tacoma. That's my hair removal device, not my popo. Yes. Hello, Alan.
Good morning, all. I'd like to be a possibly Stephanie Miller Show official dispensary manager.
Oh, awesome.
Medical cannabis.
Medical cannabis is what you dispense. Hello now.
I don't actually dispense it. I just manage dispensaries.
So oh, I see.
All right.
Advise people that are...
Have you ever, has Pat Robertson ever snuck in with a phony note from his doctor?
No, but I think he might be suffering from terminal hangnails. And they do write script for hemorrhoids.
Wow.
Oh,
awesome.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I just like, you know, from the sounds of Pat, it almost sounds like a guy trying to convince his wife... to maybe
Come on, action.
I think the woman was trying to get out of oral sex with her husband. Was trying to get Pat Robertson to say, Pat Robertson says it's a sin. I can't, honey.
You think maybe Pat's at the point where he's shooting pool with a rope, and he needs somebody to play with maybe the prostate?
Right. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Wow.
Shooting
all right.
pool with a rope? Good Lord.
Can we just say that about evil Uncle Chuggles? Phil in Canada. Hello, Phil.
How you doing? Hi. Listen, I'm a frog, okay? I got to tell you this, okay?
I'm offended.
I've been called a frog a good part of my life. And in my few, when I used to be a little more French, if you want to say. But I was at work, and they'd tell me to speak white man's language and stuff like that. So I'm just I'm a linguistic minority. Thank God I wasn't a visible one. I would have had a shit kicking, okay?
Ooh, oh, boy. Hello. Yes, that word is you can't say anywhere in any country that has the FCC. Okay.
Even if you're a grenouille.
Thank you for that.
All right. Hey, looky here. 2 out of 3 Americans blame gas price hikes on big oil, taking advantage of the situation to make more money. Meanwhile, only 23% cite the Obama administration's policy. The findings echo the National Journal poll, where a combined 66% blame the manipulation of prices by large energy companies or tensions in the Middle East, whereas only 14% blame the press.
Wall Street speculators.
Yes,
well.
Exactly. All right, Frothy Santorum on the campaign trail.
People have said, you know, you're being outspent, and you know, everybody's talking about all the math and all the things that this race is inevitable. Well, for someone who thinks this race is inevitable, he spent a whole lot of money against me for being inevitable.
Well said.
That was kind of stumbly. What? Huh?
I think they said he went without. I think they said he went without a teleprompter. Oh no!
No,
Rick Santorum.
And also, he went without an audio sound guy because that buzz was awful.
No, I'm not asking Newt Gingrich to do anything. I'm asking conservatives to give us the best chance to nominate a conservative, and I think we've seen it in the past. We nominate moderates in this party, we lose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's inevitable that there will be
inevitability. Boys, don't fight. You're all awful, and you would all lose by huge margins to the president. Nudie.
He put up $40 million of his own money. He has 16 billionaires in his super PAC, and he doesn't quite close the sale. And I think that, you know, you can't ask the rest of us to help him close the sale. That's his problem, not ours.
Frankly. Yeah. Okay. And then one more.
Let's see where we are in a few more weeks.
Sure.
There's no urgency. The person who has a challenge is Romney, because if he doesn't actually gain this by sheer numbers, he won't be the nominee. He's not going to gather extra votes beyond the ones he gets.
I'm the inevitable candidate.
Sure.
That's me, frankly.
They're all delusional, frankly.
Sure.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Okay, settle down, Spaz.
I am a spaz.
Well,
I am a complete spaz. 34 minutes after the hour. I woke up yesterday morning, and I thought like I was either a scene from The Godfather or I had a head injury, and I had just spilled red Gatorade while I was sleeping. Just my entire... I don't remember that.
Did it soak through to your sleep train mattress?
Yes. 1-800-STEP, got it. Time to get a new one. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Chris in L.A. Hey, Chris, welcome.
Hey there, what's going on?
Not much, go ahead.
So, here comes your daily ridiculous American fun fact.
Okay.
I actually know the origin of the word honky.
Oh, okay then.
It started in the 50s and the 60s. Honky was used to describe a white man who would go, quote unquote, slumming into a black neighborhood to pick up his black girlfriend. And because he was scared of the black neighborhood, he wouldn't actually get out of the car and do the gentlemanly thing.
He would honk.
And call on her. He would stop at the corner and honk for her to come out.
And
that's how the term honky came about.
Interesting. Thank you very much for that.
In Morse code, no doubt.
That's going to be a Lifetime movie. It's another about men being weeds. It's just another story. All right. Bill in Chicago with some more fun facts. Hello, Bill.
Hi there. I'm an old codger from Chicago by Cracky.
Oh, hello, old codger from Chicago. You're not the official. That's Art's
I'm
job.
I'm not the official codger. Well, just you call me the codger.
I've never met any young codgers.
Okay. back in the 40s and 50s, for sure, there was a AAA baseball team called Atlanta Crackers.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no problem with the name. Down there, they would probably call themselves the Crackers, and I forget who they were affiliated with. So I never heard of a Negro League team called the,
Did they ever play anywhere near Jew Pond, I'm wondering?
That's New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. No.
New Hampshire's nowhere near Georgia. Sorry.
Jim, what did they change the name to? I think that it was official yesterday. They changed the name to Christ Killer Pond.
I think that was it,
In order it to be less offensive.
Yeah, you killed our Lord Pond.
Yes. Angie in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Angie.
Hi. Okay, I just had to point out one more little fact because everyone's pointing out such good things, the differences between the two type of words. But I just wanted to point out one more. In this country, we never had a history of teaching actual children to use that word as an insult like we have with the N-word. I mean, think about it. Back in the day, kids were taught that, or they were reprimanded by saying that they would be carried off by the old N-word or made to sit in the N-word seat as a place of shame. And then on top of that, we never actually had a kid's nursery rhyme that included cracker. Think about eeny, meeny, miny.
Catch a by its
exactly.
toe.
Exactly.
I'm not generally, for corporal punishment, but I think we all should be allowed to smack any child that uses the N-word. What do you think?
I agree. As a black person, I agree.
All right. Smack away. Okay. I'm kidding. Newsbusters. Okay.
Well, child abuser Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Noted child abuser.
Noted child. Child smacker Stephanie Miller. That'll be the headline. Exactly.
Shut up. Shut up, you little cracker.
Shut up, you little cracker.
Oh, boy. I'm disturbed that we have that sound bite.
I don't even know where it came from, but I did not strike. No actual children were struck in the making
As far
that.
As we know.
I did not. You're a lying little cracker. Okay.
That's disturbing. We've had that accepted forever, but
if it's on America's Home Videos, though, it's hilarious.
No, it's funny. Okay. Newt Gingrich on the campaign.
I do not believe that a Massachusetts moderate who created RomneyCare as the forerunner of Obamacare is going to be in a position to win any debates this fall, and that's part of the reason I have insisted on staying in this race.
Frankly, I can't believe that I continue to drone on and on and on and
The same Massachusetts moderate. Frankly, it's not working.
None of this is working, frankly.
I love this headline, though. Mitt admits, insists that he wins by losing. He's winning, duh, in a Charlie Sheen sense.
Yeah.
Like winning is getting fired from your multi-million-dollar-a-year job.
Can Mormons drink tiger blood?
Winning.
I wonder.
Is this like a by no, I mean yes kind of thing?
Winning. He stuck to his case. He is still winning the Republican nomination battle despite the fact that he placed third in two important southern states.
Third with a bullet. Mm-hmm. You bet.
Mitt Romney is convinced Republicans will rally around his candidacy once he becomes the nominee, saying there is no question the party will back its nominee. There's a lot of questions about that. Exactly. All right. This will make Republicans even more popular. House Republican leaders plan to renege on the debt ceiling deal.
Great.
Hey, we can almost do a government shutdown again. Boehner signaled during an interview with Fox Business he was open to reneging on the budget deal Republicans crafted with Democrats last year in the debacle over raising the nation's debt ceiling. Though the parties agreed in that deal on a spending level for the 2013 budget, Boehner, of course, being pushed by his crazy teabaggers. And according to Reuters, the pressure is paid off. Both Boehner and Cantor are ready to cut below the level specified in the debt ceiling deal. Uh-huh. Harry Reid said, we expect them to live with that deal. Senator Patty Murray also echoed that. The end result of this standoff could be yet another impending government shutdown. The government's current spending authority expires September 30th.
Well, if it leads to us getting the House and Senate, strong majorities, then okay.
Yeah.
Good
How
luck with that.
How about this? Yertle? Mitch McConnell? I'm filibustering 17 judges because Harry Reid made Republicans look bad. For being obstructionist asshats, I'm guessing.
Wow. All right.
In exchange, it seems destined to prove why fewer Americans approve of Congress than approve of communism or the BP oil spill. Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell engaged in a long debate over why Reid is currently trying to break 17 filibusters of President Obama's judicial nominees. The exchange culminated with McConnell admitting that even though all these judges will be confirmed eventually, meaning none of them are objectionable right. anyway, he's blocking them now because he's upset that Reid's making him look bad.
Wow.
Wow. By the way, thanks to these excessive judicial vacancies, America's courts are increasingly unable to function. In some courts, judges are so overburdened they have to push major felony cases through as if they involve minor traffic violations. Among other, you know, there are actual consequences to what
Mitch McConnell should be rolled on his back, and no one should turn him over.
No lettuce.
I just want to get me some lettuce. His feet go like, I'm peckish. I can't roll over.
Well, this couldn't happen to a nicer weed. Joe Walsh, that guy.
Oh, the Illinois
piece of work.
Illinois congressman.
Yeah, on the ropes in Illinois. Politico reported he raised only $38,000 during the first 2 months of 2012. Reportedly, barely enough. He owes $24,000 in legal fees. His even bigger outstanding debt, of course, child support payments. That's one. His wife claims she owns $117,000 in child support. She also claims he funded his own 2010 campaign instead of paying his child support.
On the plus side, his Maserati does do $185,000.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the other
no,
one.
That's
the
other
one.
No,
different.
A poll in his district show only 32% of voters believe Walsh should be reelected. 57% were ready for someone new, like Tammy Duckworth, who I believe is going to run for that seat. Well, what a Jim Dandy idea. She said voters have buyer's remorse over Joe Walsh, yeah. Do you think?
A little bit.
Love it. George in Chicago, where you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, George.
Hey, lovely to talk to you, my lovely.
You too.
I'm not a professionally trained university etymologist, so I can't vouch for this entirely, but I remember reading some years ago a definition of cracker, which said the origin referred to those living in the deep south of Caucasian ancestry who were so dirt poor that they didn't have enough to eat, and in order to get a little extra nourishment, would crack open bones to suck out the marrow.
Ew! Oh, my mom did that. she did my.
Yeah, my grandparents would spread marrow on toast.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's the one that the definition someone already gave of. It's the person that cracked the whip.
I think that's
what I'd always heard.
Yeah. I had no idea of the origin of the word though. So.
Ken in Nashville. Hi, Ken.
Hi, how are you folks doing today?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you, I hope you guys come to Nashville sometime.
Oh, for Sexy Liberal. Well, we'll just take a look-see.
Well, I'll tell you what, just to give you another side, I know you've gotten a lot of feedback on this cracker thing, but I have been working as a professional musical storyteller since 84, and I performed lots of places. One of the places I performed for quite a few years was down Live Oak, Florida. It's a bluegrass park, and I was performing side-by-side for a number of years with a guy who called himself proudly a Florida cracker storyteller.
Right. Right. I mean, that's what, you know, it goes without saying that white people obviously haven't, you know, suffered the same oppression that blacks have in this country. And a lot of white people call themselves that as a funny thing, as a joke. So it's just whatever. Everybody's talking about the woman that called in and said that word cracker is just as bad as the N-word.
Yeah. Which is
no. Computer says no.
Wrong.
No, it's just a complete load.
She was wrong.
Okay. Fox News' Greg Gutfeld doesn't see anything wrong with the Texas voter ID law that is being blocked by the Justice Department because it violates the Voting Rights Act. He continued to defend the law on the grounds that no voter would be disenfranchised because those who don't possess IDs would be required for voting would be provided with a substitute state ID for free.
No, people have been denied the opportunity.
In reality, voters would incur significant costs to obtain these so-called free IDs. So it is a poll tax. That's what it is.
Yes, it is.
All right. You know, when we come back, I love this whole, they're really trying to make Bill Maher the poster boy. They're trying to make him the Rush Limbaugh of the left. We'll tell you what Rick Santorum had to say about that. And much more as we continue 45 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human antidepressant. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I do show prep? We're just here to party?
Yeah.
Why wasn't I told? 49 minutes
after. We're here to party. We're here to get down.
Huh. 1-8. That was a lot of unnecessary reading. Katie in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Katie.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
This is the official dog walking bartender of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Awesome. Wow. You were at Sexy Liberal. Yay.
Yes, I was. You guys were amazing.
Thank you.
I'm calling because I heard another Katie talking about the transvaginal probe not being a big deal.
Yes.
And the week that the Susan G. Komen thing was happening, I called in and told you guys about my unintended pregnancy from a couple years ago and how Planned Parenthood saved my life because they were the only place I could go when my insurance didn't cover it. But I have a doctor that I trust, so I saw him that I've known for a long time, so I saw him first. And in order to determine gestational age and if I was far enough along to do the surgical procedure, we had to do a transvaginal ultrasound.
Right.
So I've had that procedure done, and it wasn't traumatic for me because I gave consent. It was done. It was a decision between my doctor and I, like all medical decisions should be.
That's right.
But I can imagine that if that were done against my will or after a traumatic event like a rape, that would be terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. By the way, thank you for your love note. It was very sweet.
Oh, Stephanie, you have no idea. Thank you.
Thank you, honey. All right. She slipped me a little love note.
Aw.
Yeah, about just not being afraid to tell your own personal truth, whatever it is. Yeah. All right.
She 10 bar while she's walking the dogs? That
yeah.
Be,
it's a it's a movable
a
bar. It's really, it's something. Okay. So, Frothy the Santorum said Monday the left has an absolute double standard because while they condemn Limbaugh's comments, blah, 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 Bill Maher. How many times can we point out, first of all, the obvious difference? Bill Maher is on HBO, which is not governed by the FCC. As he said, it would be like saying, I say filthy things at Sexy Liberal. Yes, because it's a stand-up comedy show.
And it's not on the air.
Exactly.
FCC has nothing to say about it.
Yes, and Bill Maher is not, you know, the head of the Republican Party that people are afraid of. I mean, there's so many different differences, I think. And again, as he pointed out, he doesn't have sponsors. He's on HBO.
Right.
So, anyway. By the way, the Concerned Women for America, once again, very concerned about Bill Maher now.
Concerned Troll is very concerned.
Concerned trolls are always very concerned.
Mm-hmm.
They were recently, as you know, concerned about both sweaty balls and lesbians, as they relate to JCPenney.
Wow, so concerned.
They're concerned about everything.
Yes, and apparently just not easily pleased.
Well.
If you don't like, I've said it many times, but if you don't like sweaty balls or lesbians.
What do you like?
What can we do for you?
How can we help you?
Don't drink, don't smoke. What do you do?
They said Maher was a vile misogynist and called for priority.
That's his act.
Yeah, that's what he does.
It's his bag, maybe.
He hangs out at the Playboy Mansion.
Not only do you not have to, you know, you don't have to watch, don't subscribe to HBO if you don't want to see, or go buy a ticket to his stand-up if you don't want to see him. That's different. I mean, I do say they have, some people do have a point that radio is, there should be a programming in the public interest, because they don't, guess what, the airwaves don't belong to me or to Rush Limbaugh. They belong to you.
Right.
So
it belonged to me? Oh, good.
I meant you, Jim. Just because I was looking at you, I didn't mean you.
All. How about
you
putting
this with your hands?
Yeah. How about you put on an all Rolling Stones station?
Yes. Actually, I have that on
They
Pandora.
Taught us that in broadcasting school. That you always say you because you're talking to the listener.
Exactly.
I'm talking to you.
The one person that is sitting in their car right this very second.
I'm full of. I didn't go to broadcasting school. All right.
Yeah, you have a theater degree. I went to.
Clearly.
I have a broadcasting degree. But you're right. That's what they teach you.
I know. I never know what to tell kids when they ask, how do I do? I'm like, I don't know. It's a complete accident for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Training, nothing. I don't know. Good luck. Okay.
How did you learn how to edit audio tape with a razor blade?
You're screwed. I don't know how you. Good luck.
Yeah, I just kind of fell into radio.
Yes, exactly. It's always an accident mostly.
Three times.
I trained.
It's when all your other dreams die.
I trained for 5.5 years for this.
It's the place
where you guys fell into it.
It's the place where dreams go to die. So David Axelrod apparently has canceled his Bill Maher appearance. I just see this is the problem, is this gets to be an environment then when everyone gets scared to be, you know.
It's but at least probably none of the, best that he did.
At least President Obama's had the good sense to never come on my radio show ever.
Yeah.
Let alone. What?
It's probably best that David Axelrod did because you don't want to give the other side any ammunition.
Well, they're saying they got to return the donation from Bill Maher. It's just, this is what they always do. Instead of standing up and saying what Rush Limbaugh did was wrong, period, it was a sustained multi-day attack mm-hmm. on a non-public person based mm-hmm. on a completely fictional premise. You know, they don't say that. They immediately go, Bill Maher said the one time. It's like an 8-year-old response.
You're right.
All right. Oh, bad news for Sarah Palin. Game Change scored big for HBO.
Yes.
It drew some 2.1 million viewers when it debuted. That's the biggest audience for an HBO film since 2004.
And if she's whining that she was treated unfairly, that's just absurd. I mean,
they really couldn't have been more fair.
Yeah,
to her.
In fact,
Julianne Moore, because she's such a great actress, she made her actually sympathetic.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, end up rooting for her when she finally got it right.
When she didn't vomit on herself at the vice presidential
and
debate.
And also she was meeting the Down syndrome kids. That was actually, you know.
And it was touching when she talked to her son who was in Iraq and had to hang up the phone because he was getting shot at.
Yeah.
That was touching.
She humanized her, I think, to be more human than she actually is. They kind of, I thought they soft coded how nasty she is.
They certainly downplayed John McCain's temper.
Well,
there was no evidence of that.
Yes, he was just a kindly old grandpa, as we all know him. It's not the policy. It's not the policy.
It's not the policy.
It's not the policy.
It's that much policy.
And what did he call his wife, allegedly?
Oh, now. We don't know.
Something we can't say on the radio.
Oh, I see.
Oh, dear. NBC has pulled Ron Paul's last embedded reporter. A little tiny man alone in his big giant cartoon suit.
Oh. Is anybody out there? Anyone at all?
Is this thing on? No.
Hello?
No. Is anyone out there?
Oh, my cracky.
Anyone at all?
He's in bedless now. He has no embedded...
No reporters following him anymore.
All right. Get ready to say again. Lindsay Lohan hits club employee with her Porsche.
Again?
Yes. Her car grazed the knee of a man outside a Hollywood club early Wednesday. I love the way the story's reported. Lindsay Lohan has a history of bad luck with cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the car's fault. She picks Christine every time. A woman claimed in January she was struck by Lohan's Maserati while walking across a West Hollywood intersection.
A Maserati?
No, she hasn't worked in any meaningful way in years. Did she get a Maserati?
Yeah, really? Photographer also sued her in January, claiming he was struck by a vehicle in January 2010 in which Lohan was riding. See, again, just bad luck. Just her being in the car makes it a bad luck car.
Christine.
Even Kit would have, you know, ran into somebody. But
what are you doing? You're worse than Michael.
A couple of squeezy stories for Jim before we go. Gillian Anderson's of X-Files had a long-term lesbian relationship.
Really?
When she was in high school.
Well,
this is a happy ending for you, but she says she was too attracted to men for her lesbian romance to go the distance. Maybe she could try it again under your supervision.
She just needs more practice.
That's what it is.
That's such the male three-way story. That's just how every man wants it to end. All right, this may harsh your buzz. Jessica Simpson loves pregnant sex.
Okay.
She said, I'm definitely feeling intimate. I'm kind of unstoppable right now. The big O is like the biggest O ever.
Damn.
Oh my God.
Oh, heavens.
Oh, oh, God.
Right, okay. You're on my hair. Okay.
That's a lot of hair to be on, too.
No one's ever on, because not absence, no one's ever on my hair anymore. I have none left. All right, that's it for us Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang. Tomorrow, we'll see you then on The Stephanie Miller Show.